You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
Anyone who speaks against brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, but you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So today we're going to continue with our sermon series in James chapter 4. Your sermon outline is in your little packet here. It is on the back of the order of worship, so you can fill that out. And I gave you plenty of space for taking notes in between because it looks short, but it's hopefully going to be somewhat short. But this morning I want to go over what we're going to be doing for the rest of the time here at Faith Church, the rest of the time for this year. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to finish up chapter 4 next week, and then we're going to start chapter 5, and then I'm going to take a break. On November the 1st, I'm going to preach on something to do with the election. Now, before anybody freaks out on that, because it is definitely a fiery situation. I want you to know that there are certain rules that pastors have to follow. And those rules are, number one, I will never stand in a pulpit and tell you, you better vote this way. I can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. So please understand that, you know, if you're thinking about November 1st, I think that's a Sunday, or whatever the first Sunday of November is, we're going to do that sermon. But don't think that I'm going to be hammering home points that you're already hearing. No, I have a whole different take on it, specifically after looking at some passages in Scripture. And so I'm going to ask you to come in with an open mind. So I kind of wanted everybody to know that right off the bat, so you don't come on November 1st thinking, yeah, we're going to finish up James, and boom, pastor lays down a boom. There is not going to be a boom, I hope. It may step on some toes, but, you know, as I've heard from several people, the best sermons are the ones when you walk out with your toes hurting, because that's what the job is of the Spirit of God, to challenge us, to grow us. And so then November, the second Sunday of November, we will finish up James. And I'm only doing that way because, you know, you vote on November 3rd. So I kind of wanted to get that sermon in before you vote, not after you vote. November 8th, or whatever that second Sunday is, you will finish up James. And then on the 15th, 22nd, 29th, we're going to be doing something about outreach. Because I think we are poised as a local church to make a huge impact during Christmas. I think we are. I think we are totally poised, but it's going to be up to you. It can't be me. It can't be some mailing that goes out from the church, although we probably will put one out. It can't just be that. It has to be you helping to do the impact. And so this Christmas, I believe we are poised as a local church to make a huge impact. And our Christmas series is what I'm looking at doing is how to survive a blue Christmas. Talking about how to survive depression, how to survive anxiety, how to survive all of these things that we have experienced over this year in 2020 from COVID-19 and every other situation that's hit us. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to say, this is how we can survive, how we can still celebrate the birth of Christ in spite of all this other stuff. And so I hope you'll come. I hope you'll be a part of it, and just mark your calendars. We're still planning on, at this point, there has been no decision made, but I'm going to step out on an executive decision and say, I'm still planning on holding two candlelight services, Christmas Eve and Christmas Eve. And I hope that we will do that. But again, you know, that has not been officially decided yet, but I'm going to tell you that I'm rearing to go. I think it's time this year to do this and to just be out there outreaching together. So that's the lay of the land for the rest of this year. So there you got it. So you will be walking through some different sermon series, but on November the 1st, I'm going to stop this series and do a special one talking about what I believe Christ wants us to get out of this election season and what he's calling us to during this election season. So that's my commercial. Now we start. Planet Fitness is known as the No Judgment Zone. If you ever go to Planet Fitness, it's called the No Judgment Zone. And they don't let you judge anyone. If someone's lifting weights and they hear you giving them a hard time because they're not lifting as much as you are, they will buzz you. There's literally a buzzer in there that will buzz you and say, stop the judgment. This is a no judgment zone. You're allowed to work out at your pace, not be judged. Well, Planet Fitness shouldn't be the main place that is a judgment-free zone. Every church is called to be the same thing. Now, last week I started the sermon saying it was crucial we grab the hold of the steps to repentance. This week, James starts another thought. It's about something that happens in every organization, but should not happen in the church. But let's be honest, it does. It does. James is seeing Christians in this church struggling, in his church, struggling with putting down others in the church. Now, we're going to throw around words like slander and judgment today. Probably one of the most favorite statements of those outside the church is, you are all way too judgmental. If I had a dollar for every time that's been said in this season of election to me, I'd be very, very rich. I have said this before and will say it again. The bad judgment is when we assign a person an eternal destiny. Not pursuing people to come to Christ and live out a biblical worldview. In other words, if person A is living in what we would define as sin, according to the Word of God, I can tell them of what the Word of God says and how a relationship with Christ may change their lives and still not be judging according to Scripture. Again, we do this all the time. You know, if no judging meant not making a call, then why does Jesus spend time on the fruit? You want to know where someone's heart is? Look at the fruit. That's, you know, if we're going to say no judging at all, that's kind of judging. The judging that James is talking about and the judging that Jesus is talking about when he says judge not is a judgment that says, since person A is not living a Christ-like attitude and they're doing things that are wrong, they are going to hell and there is nothing they can do about it. Time out. Aren't you glad the grace of Jesus doesn't outreach you? And yet you tell people that they're going to hell without a chance of changing their lives? See, that's the judgment of what we're talking about. Wait, that's against, again, everything we believe, because when we read the Bible, the grace of God is available for anyone until their last day here on earth, right? I mean, you know, no one is beyond the grace of God until they take their last breath and they go and they have now made their final decision where they will stand. That's it. That's why you have people who have been terrible people doing wrong things for their entire lives, coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on their deathbed. Is that any less than a guy like me who came to know Jesus Christ at 5 years of age and lived with him for this entire time? No, it's not. It's not. That's why when people say once a liar, always a liar, once a thief, always a thief, yet you and I both know people, I am sure, that were once really bad and did some shady things. And now they're living for Christ. You know, like us. Didn't we all do some shady things from time to time? I did. In most cases, see, no one is beyond the reach and grace of Jesus Christ. The issue is that in this world, we have heard so much of, you can't judge him, you can't judge her. You may ask, why? Because then the truth is removed from the debate, right? I mean, if I can't make a statement or an observation about how you're living your life, then truth is removed from the debate. And do not kid yourself, that is what is trying to be happening today. Removing truth from the debate. Don't you dare tell me I am wrong. Don't you dare tell me that the Word of God says something different about how I live. Because if I can get the truth of the Word of God out of the debate, if I can get truth altogether out of the debate, now I can say and do anything and it's accepted as truth. Right? If you have no standard, doesn't matter. And it's been happening for years. You know, Casting Crowns sings a song called Slow Fade. And he in that song, Mark Hall talks about the fact that, you know, families don't fall apart overnight. Churches don't divide overnight. It's a slow fade. That's what our world has been. You know, we've given up this little bit of truth and given up this little bit of truth and we've given up this little bit of truth. And now we wonder why no one wants to accept our truth. Because they've removed it from the debate. And I'm not talking about the presidential debate. Please get that out of your head. I'm talking about the debate all over this world. See, the bottom line point of all of this is that slandering and judging correctly defined is a huge issue because it's destructive to the mission of Christ in the community of believers. It is. It's a very big problem. It stunts the growth. James gives us some truths about slandering to each other in the church. And here's where your sermon outlines will kick in. The first truth is very easy. Don't do it. You say, I came to church for this? No, yes, you did. Don't do it. Do not do it. Now listen to what he says. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Now, here's what's very key. Can you turn me down just a little bit, Trevor, please? Here's what's very key to this situation. The reality is that when we come to this, we have come out of James chapter 4, the first half of it. If you go up in your Bibles, if you're turned in your Bibles to James chapter 4, you can see that he changes his tune because he wants to get through to these people how bad this slandering situation really is. What does he call them in the first part or back when we were last week? He calls them, you adulterous people. Now, James turns the corner in verse 11 and he goes back to the more loving term, brothers and sisters. Do not slander one another. Some translations call this to speak evil of instead of slander. Here's what the Greek calls it. Well, they call it slanderous. And the second definition they use is backbiting. That's what the real Greek word says. When he says slander, he means slanderous backbiting. Nonetheless, James starts out again, not holding back. Look, believers in the community together, don't do it. But it's so easy. I mean, sometimes, you know, isn't it easy to do it? I mean, you just get caught up and it just rolls off your tongue. Sometimes the pastor sets you up so well, he says something during the sermon that you're so upset about, or you're so upset that you cook the pastor at dinner, right? I mean, I didn't grow up in a pastoral household. My dad was not a pastor. He was a factory worker, and that was that. And so I know what those Sunday lunches can be sometimes. Can you believe he said that? Can you believe he did this? Can you believe? Can you believe? Can you believe? And so sometimes backbiting and such can happen. Because it's just easy to do. Because you do, I mean, what's it hurting? We just sitting around as a family. James starts off very focused and just comes out saying there's no place for it in the body of Christ. Not at Faith Church, not at First, Second, or Third Baptist Church, or any other church. It shouldn't be happening at all. Slander was a weakness in the ancient world. Everyone who was someone was doing it. It was like the popular kids. You know, that was the popular thing to do in the ancient world. You know, you didn't have anything better to do. You didn't want to play cards, or you didn't want to play Monopoly or whatever. I know they weren't available then in the ancient world. But, you know, you didn't have anything to do. You didn't have cell phones to look at. You didn't have anything else. And so what did they do? They got together and they slandered each other. You know, it's almost like, you know, putting in the, you know, just saying, hey, come on over to our house. We're going to slander people, you know, just, you know, let's sit around the fire and slander people. And that's exactly what was happening in the ancient world when James is writing this. There were probably those who, when they read these first letters, this first part of his letter here in verse 11 to them, and they heard him say, don't you do it. There's no place for it in the church. There were probably literally those who sat back in their pews, chairs, whatever they had, and said to themselves, are you kidding me, James? I mean, you are going way over the line now, Pastor. They said that to James. You would never say that to me. Tongue in cheek. Maybe like here this morning, slandering is a part of some of the American way, right? I mean, the juicier the judgment and the slander, the better for some. The deeper it goes. Should not be happening here, but it does. Concerns with evil speaking, slander, are throughout the New Testament. You'll see them in your sermon outline, a bunch of verses listed. Romans 1:30, 2 Corinthians 12:20, 1 Peter 2:1, 1 Peter 2:12, 1 Peter 3:16. And here's 2 Corinthians 12:20. Here it is. It's on the screen, I believe. Yes, it is. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Paul says this to the Corinthian church because he knows it's happening. It's the church going wild is what's happening. You see, James is seeing something happening here. And in the next section of this verse, he's going to unpack that, what that something is, which leads us to truth number two. Here's the truth. Truth number two, you should not set the standard. Yourself, do not set the standard for others. Oh, but I'd like to. Well, you can like to, but you shouldn't. Here's what it says. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So what ends up happening here is, for instance, if I have this pole that I found in the basement of the annex, there's all kinds of goodies down there. Had to clean it off because my hands were pure black when I first touched it. But this is a flagpole that you can hang a flag on, but we didn't have one on it downstairs, obviously. If I walk around with this pole, and this is my judgment pole, so I set the standards. You are not godly unless you hit this top part right here. All right, so I go around and let's say I'm walking around the sanctuary this morning. I won't because of COVID-19. If COVID-19 wasn't going on, I was going to walk the sanctuary, but I'll just stay right here. And so we go to this, and I'm going to pick on a ministry council member sitting right down front here, Ellie, because I love to pick on Ellie. Anyway, Ellie, I go to Ellie and I put the stick up against her and I say, all right, if you don't hit godly, then you are, you know what? You just aren't even worth anything. And so Ellie comes to right here. But this is where I have set godly. I have set godly. I have set godly. Not God has set godly. I have set godly. So Ellie is not godly according to me. And that's what sometimes we do. We walk around with this pole and we say, well, if you're not doing this, and when you say this, you this, and when you do that, and if you're not measuring up to this top post, this top little circle thing here on the top of the post, then guess what? In my book, you aren't worth the soil you're standing on. It's wrong. Because I don't set the standard. You don't set the standard. He sets the standard. And so what James is saying is that when people judge people for whatever reason, you know, it might be, can you believe they wore those red shoes to church today? Can you believe they did this? Can you believe they said this to you? Can you believe they did this to me? Can you believe? Can you believe? And the list goes on and on and on and on. And guess what? It's all in this poll. It's all of us just saying, you know, well, they didn't do what I wanted them to do. So guess what? They're hitting down here. This is the goal, but they're still hitting down here. This is ridiculous. And it hurts. It hurts. Now again, James is saying that it's about person doing the slandering. They're walking around with their own thoughts of what people should or should not be doing. And if you don't measure up to them, of course, it's okay to talk down to those people. Because they don't measure up. They don't make me happy. In essence, what James is saying is that person that does this is putting themselves in the place of God Himself. They are not following all the law that requires them to show mercy and grace. Instead, they're standing in judgment themselves. And they don't realize it. They don't get it. They see this pole in front of them and they say to themselves, well, it's cut and dry for me. Black and white. I don't need anything else. They're not following all the law that requires them to show, again, mercy and grace. In fact, here's what I find. This is just a free point. You're not getting charged for this morning. Here's what I find is most people who stand around holding the pole, and yes, I'm holding one right now, aren't even living up to the standards they want you to live up to. Amen. Sorry, I just like to whistle after good points. It's a new habit I started, and my seminary professor would probably be shooting me right about now. But anyway, this is what we're saying. We walk around with this post and we say, well, you're not lining up, you're not lining up, you're not lining up. All the while, we're not lining up. And all the while, we're playing God. It's insanity. But let me assure you, it happens every day. It does. Every day we all sometimes pick up that post. And sometimes it's a weekly or a minute-by-minute struggle for some of us. We want to pick up that post and line everybody up to it. Throughout our day, well, this person isn't lining up, this person isn't lining up, and it gets out of control. It's not a good situation in any way, shape, or form. Look, it's okay to hold opinions. That's not the problem. It's okay to have thoughts. It's okay to be passionate about your thoughts. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to share your heart. But it is never okay to slander and backbite each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Shouldn't happen. And if it is happening and you are around it, you should have permission, and you do have permission from the Word of God to stop it. You know, I remember saying that in a membership class about 4 years ago, 6 years ago, I started here. It was like one of my first membership classes. I said to the group of people that were meeting with me in the membership class, I said, listen, if you're around this, if you're seeing this kind of stuff happen, you have permission to say stop and walking away from that person. And if that person gets upset by you doing that, just come and see me, because we'll have a little chat, because that is not right. And you have the permission of the Word of God to stop it right in its place. And this person said to someone else in the church, I can't believe he just said that. Not in a negative way. He was totally shocked that I gave him permission to stop it. Why would I do that? Why would I give him permission to stop it? Because, you see, in being a part of the church for as long as I have been, for the 40 plus years that I've been a part of a church, for the 25 plus years I've been a pastor, I will tell you this. This is the single most reason why some churches never lift off the ground. Too much of it. Single most reason. To reinforce the point in the original language, the last part of verse 11 reads like this: you are not doers of the law, but judges. You see, James is going back when he said there's a difference between being doers of the word and hearers only. That's what he's saying. So let me read that again. What James is saying here in the second half of verse 11 is, you are not doers of the law, but you're judges, and you're supposed to be doers. Because there's only one judge, and it's not you. That's powerful, because he's using the same kind of language again to his people, saying, remember when I talked about being doers of the word and not hearers only? Well, the same thing goes for the law. When you're following the law, you are working at following the law. You are working at doing what the law has asked you to do. You are not to be judging what others are doing under the law. That's Jesus' job. That's God's job. Truth number three is this: God is God and we are not. Here's what it says in verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Only the one that is given the law is qualified to judge others. How are they following the law? On how they are following the law. He's the only one that can grant eternal life or condemn someone to eternal judgment. We are never given that right to make that judgment in all of Scripture. We can certainly say someone's fruit doesn't match up from what they're saying with their mouths. In other words, someone could be saying, I'm an orange tree, I'm an orange tree, I'm an orange tree, and they're growing pears all over the place. Well, then they aren't an orange tree. They're a pear tree. Someone could be saying, I have fruit, I have fruit, I have fruit, and there's no fruit coming off their branches. Then they are not a fruit tree. They are a dead fruit tree. You can't proclaim that you have fruit and not show the fruit. It's like an apple tree being able to talk. Now, that would be kind of strange. But anyway, the apple tree says, I'm producing a ton of fruit. And it's like Lloyd and June's apple tree that doesn't produce fruit anymore. Can you imagine June and Lloyd going home? Now, they wouldn't do this. But can you imagine them going home and talking to their apple tree saying, why are you saying you're producing fruit? You're not. It's absolutely insane for you to say that you're producing fruit because nothing has dropped from your branches in years. But yet we do that from time to time, don't we? Oh yeah, I'm right on track. I'm living. I'm making fruit. I'm doing fruit. Where? What are you doing with it? And that's what James is saying to his readers here. He's saying, listen, there's only one judge of that. And that is salvation judging. Be clear on that. This isn't looking at fruit and looking at things. Because, you know, like, don't we kind of judge people when we say, you know, you really need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Isn't that at that moment a judgment of their heart? Yeah, it is, but it's true. You know, we all have relatives and friends that need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are putting their hope in the wrong things. And someday it's all going to come crashing down, and then they're going to say, man, I wish you would have said something sooner. And so you have sons, you have daughters, you have grandkids, you have kids, you have aunts and uncles, you have all of these people and friends that aren't even family that need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you look at them and you say, that's what you need, Jesus. You're not judging them in the sense of what James is talking about here in verse 13 or verse 12. You're saying you can still come to know Jesus. Judging them would be to go to a friend and say, you know, there's no way you're ever going to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You might as well just realize right now that you're heading for eternal damnation and there's nothing that's going to change that course. You all say to yourself, well, I would never say that to a friend. Good. Because that's the judgment that James is talking about here. That's not your call. It's not your call. Remember, one brother of mine in the ministry always used to say, you know, sometimes heaven's going to be full of surprises both ways. There's going to be those that you're going to be surprised and look and go, whoa, you're here? And then there's going to be those looking around going, where's so-and-so? Could have swore they were going to be here. See, that's what James is talking about. Being careful of how we go about it. The bottom line here is as people dependent on God's grace, we should not presume to announce any verdict against others based on our own judgment. What arrogance that would be. This is why in verse 6 in Proverbs 3:34, again, James reminds us of this verse. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. What do the proud want to do all the time? They want them to be lifted, and they want others to be put down, because as they're being put down, then they're going up higher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like if Landon is over here to my right, and if I want to be the prideful one, and so I'm gonna do anything I can to knock Landon down off the stage. Why? Because then I'll be standing even taller. Everyone's eyes will be on me. And so God opposes that proud stance because he's saying to us that that is where judgment comes from. When we're prideful, when we think we've got it wrapped and everybody else needs to catch up to where we are, it's ugly. And God's judgment is not that way. Because if you remember, as we go back through the book of James, what does James present God as earlier on in the book? A good, good father. He's seeing us. He's saying that God himself wants the best for us. So even God wouldn't look at someone and do the judgment that we sometimes do. James is so clear here. And he's saying, listen, don't get involved. If someone else wants to look at everybody else and say what they do is wrong, that's their opinion. But at the end of the day, we gotta drop our measuring sticks. And there's story after story after story like this in the scriptures. You remember the tax collector who came and, you know, thank God I'm not like that guy. That's pride. And so what I would ask you to do is consider how you can do it in humility. And one of the things that I've been doing is I've been practicing this on my... as hard as it is sometimes on my social media. Been trying to ask that question before. Is what I'm about to say come across as prideful? That I have all the answers and you're just dumb because you don't catch up where I'm at? Or is it humble? And you know what? The response sometimes on social media in particular and text messages and emails, the most humble thing you could do? Not respond. I got this new rule that I just started implementing a couple of months ago, that if someone's like really high on their hog and starts to really rip into me in an email, it's going to sit for 24 hours before I respond. You say, that's horrible. You should respond right away. No, I shouldn't. Because I'll respond in the prideful way that they want me to respond. And it's my decision when I respond. Not God's, or not their decision. See, we all got to start making those kind of changes in our hearts and in our lives. It's application of what God is teaching us here. Understanding that, you know what? We're going to live a different way. And sometimes you have to set up boundaries. And sometimes when you set those boundaries up, people won't understand. They won't. But that's what James is talking about. Stop the slandering. And I'm not saying that to you this morning. I'm saying this is what the Word of God says. So be careful with it. Understand it for what it is. Do we want to multiply Faith Church and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me do it backwards. Do we want to multiply the gospel of Jesus Christ and Faith Church, or do we want to divide? Slandering leads to division. Not slandering and making wise decisions about what we say about one another leads to multiplication. That's the choice we have. Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this message. We thank you for James and the way he goes after things, Lord. We're just so grateful for the hard lessons too. Lord, they're not always easy, but they challenge us and they grow us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would minister to us. Lord, if there's anyone here today that first of all, doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that before they walk out of here, they would make that right. They would come to know you. They would confess their sins. And then they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I don't know any heart here. And we just got done saying that that's the only judge there is you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would minister to them. I pray also, Lord, for those who may or may not have been challenged by this message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them and help them to set up boundaries. Help them to set up things that help them to not go there, to not pick up the pole and measure everybody by their pole, but to leave the pole lay on the ground and allow God to do what God's going to do in each heart and life. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for what you do. For it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.